This is The Lay of the Land with academic and deep thinker Luba Mayakiso.
Luba Mayakiso, a very good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Very well, Howard. Thank you very much.
And
you good?
Yes, thank you very much. And on behalf of everybody, condolences to your wife for her recent loss. And I hope she is doing okay.
No, she is. Thank you very much.
So, Luba, we've been chatting here in studio with David Abramson around the fact that South Africans are suffering or appear to be suffering from corruption fatigue. And we were going through this whole concept of maybe desensitization, the fact that it's just too overwhelming. It's like watching Netflix, your favorite series or least favorite series over and over again until you actually feel nauseous from it. Through all of this, of course, our goal and our mission is to keep moving forward and to do so with positivity. What do you think? Can we do it?
Absolutely. Remember, I think we've chatted in the past and I've said sometimes these numbers become so staggering that the average man just can't comprehend them. So, I mean, when I listened to the state capture inquiry, the Bosasa testimony, you know, bribes of 6 million rand cash a month, you know, I worked in a bank before, and I can tell you now, getting hold of cash out of a bank is difficult. And so, but I just said, you know, how do you spend 6 million rand on bribes? It's a staggering number. So I think there's so much that's been going on. And I think for me, when I looked at that, and especially with your article, it's sometimes the small things that just get us to be a little bit worn down and negative. You know, yes, there are good things happening. Our president is going around the world raising money and all of those issues. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, I caught the last bit of the discussion before. Where I live, we've got crime, house burglaries that have just gone through the roof. You know, it's those small things that irritate you. When I had to drive up to the Eastern Cape for my mum-in-law's funeral, I couldn't believe driving through Butterworth that there were no traffic lights that were working. Every set of traffic lights had a temporary stop sign. And during the week that I was there, nobody seemed to care. Nobody seemed to be repairing them. You know, the road to my mum-in-law's house would take me 15 to 20 minutes. It took me a solid hour, the worst gravel I'd ever seen. Wow. So it's almost like there's things that are just falling apart, not necessarily the big things. And it's what's starting for me to wear me down, the fact that I must now arm my alarm a bit earlier, that I must be vigilant. You know, it's those things it's not the big issues. So you start to get a little bit more negative because your whole life is affected by these things in a more serious way than somebody stealing, you know, a billion rand.
Yeah. And David, your thoughts?
No, absolutely. I think if something affects you on a daily basis, you know, you're living it, whether it be potholes when you're driving to work or you're spending another hour in traffic, that affects you on a daily basis.
So it's interesting. I've always felt that about Israel is, you know, why are people so much less stressed in many ways, even though they've got, you know, a genocidal Iran that every week is swearing to destroy them. They've got terrorism issues. They've got so many issues that they're facing, but yet people seem to be very, very much more upbeat and happy. It's listed as one of the happiest countries in the world in terms of its people. And I think it's exactly what Luba's saying, is that it's because when you're walking down the street, you're not feeling that. And when you're in your home, you're not feeling it. And if you forget to lock your front door, it's not a big deal because you're not being personally, you know, obviously when, you know, your child goes into an army or when there's something different, you feel it. But on your day-to-day experience, you're not feeling that.
And I think for me, even though clearly, of course, obviously corruption affects all of us in South Africa in so many ways, but we don't, I think, you know, feel it tangibly when we get up in the morning, go, you know, doing our daily routine.
So we can keep it at a distance, is what you're saying.
So it feels, you know, of course it affects us, you know, it affects us in so many ways and so directly, but it doesn't affect our daily interaction in the world from a very superficial level. Now, Luba's talking about starting his day an hour later. That is significant.
Right. That's, you know, changing.
Can I also add, I think the challenge is that if you take the case of Israel, say you go to Sderot, you get the feeling that government is doing something. So whether it's the Iron Dome or shelters, you know, you can be under siege, but if you believe that your government is trying to do something, you feel a bit better, then you can weather it. Whereas here, you know, I'm talking of, let me go back to the gravel road where we phoned government and asked them to send a grader to fix the road. Nothing was done. And on the last day, as I was driving away, there was actually one parked about 200 meters from my mom-in-law's house, but nobody had bothered to use it. So you get the sense that it's helplessness. So when I drove to Butterworth, I didn't get a sense that the police, somebody was saying, let's fix these traffic lights. It was a case of, okay, they're broken or whatever, let's put a stop sign and treat it as a four-way stop. So there was no attempt to fix it. So that's where the helpless comes in, because things can go wrong. But if you see that somebody is trying to fix a remedy, then you get a bit of hope. And that's why in some ways, even the state capture, though we desensitized from it, you know, you're listening to the evidence coming out, then the ANC is saying, well, we'll wait for the evidence to come out and then we'll see what to do. You don't get a sense in the country that even with the corruption, somebody's taking it seriously as a consequence. So then you get despondent because you're saying to yourself, it's a steady, you know, kind of spiral downwards. Nobody seems to care. You know, in my neck of the woods, we've got they're called the Panga Gang. Apparently, four very sweet gentlemen will break into your house, one armed with a panga, and he will attack your dogs. But if you cooperate, they'll take your jewelry, your iPhones, and your TV, and they'll leave. And they'll even leave you with one phone to call the cops. But it's been happening almost every single day.
Gentlemanly. Wow.
Very gentlemanly. They aren't caught. I mean, I read a report yesterday, and the police arrived, but they evaded capture from, you know, the police were there, the neighborhood watch was there, and these guys are hitting Constantia almost every single night.
So Moshe says, hi Luba, the things that you mention that were small in your life are all as a result of the massive corruption. So it does filter down. These are the effects.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely, because it's. I think the thing that made it difficult is that there was a time when these things weren't really there, and over the last couple of years they've kind of crept back. So it's almost as if we've gone backwards. So you know, when I go back now to the old Transkei, I'm saying these roads were better. I used to travel these roads in the last couple of years and they were fine. And it's almost as if nobody cares. You know, we got to a situation where we were phoning a government department where the first 2 days they kept promising us and then they just wouldn't answer their phone. And then you say to yourself, where do I complain? You know, who do I talk to? And I think it's that it starts to wear you down and you want to be optimistic. You want to have a brighter outlook for 2019, but you're saying we're getting some very basic things wrong that are just making life a misery. And it's very difficult in the light of that to stay positive. It's very difficult if I've got to arm my alarm, you know, in the middle of, at 5 p.m. or whenever it goes dark and keep it on.
So, I mean, that is absolutely the case. And, you know, we can protect ourselves by not binge-watching the corruption trials and maybe just reading it and knowing what's going on. But at the same time, what Luba's saying is right, is that it's an affront. We're being affronted with difficulties and negativities from all sides. How do we try and maintain positivity given that environment? Because we do have much to be grateful for. And we do have so many positive things. Charlize Theron is going out with Brad Pitt.
Is that really true?
Zanati?
Actually, there was an article.
No. Mic's off. Mic. Are you going to tell me it's not true?
Oh, boy.
Yes, there was a follow-up article saying that
they're just friends.
How good friends.
The shock in Howard's face
right now. No, but I want to know, what does it mean, just friends?
Just friends. They've been spending a lot of time together, but they...
All right, I'm not giving up. I think she can do it. Yeah.
You know what? I agree with you. We have an incredible lot to be thankful for. You know, the other day, I was chatting to a young chap who's a researcher for the ANC, and I was sharing with him a book that I'd been given years ago, The Good News About South Africa. And I kind of went through it, and there's a lot that has really gone on very well that we have to be grateful for. But my worry is we just mustn't become complacent with what is going wrong, that we're kind of impressed with what we've done right. We've got to balance it and say, yes, it's a beautiful country. It's got a lot going for it, wonderful people. But at the same time, I think let us not get accustomed and tranquilized, you know, so we get used to those things that are going wrong. And I think the issue of fraud and corruption is one such issue, because let's go back to the VBS issue. I mean, it's dead and buried. Nobody's speaking about the VBS issue.
That was so last year.
you know, end of last year.
End of last year, absolutely.
Now we've moved on to what Agrizi is telling us. And how soon before we move off that? And it hasn't been addressed. Remember, we had Ngandla, we had arms deal, we had many issues. And we kind of just move and focus. We had the Guptas, and who cares about the Guptas right now? It's history. And that's my problem, is that it almost becomes a norm that we accept that these things happen and that corruption and fraud will happen. It will, you know, percolate down and affect us, and we just move on. And that is a real concern, being accustomed to the state
that we're in. Absolutely. Bendita says, fantastic show. I think as citizens, we have to create hope. We have to be proactive and not reactive. And Mike says, Luba explains my state perfectly. I'm not angry. There's a helplessness because I don't see the change coming. So he's, you know, if you're not seeing that improvement, then it does create a set of a form of despondency, no question.
Absolutely. If you're feeling completely overwhelmed, if you're feeling like you're not being listened to,
right,
and you know, you're going to start feeling despondent. And I think that's the key, is that, yes, I mean, things feel so overwhelming sometimes, so we just are not listened to. There's no consequences for breaking the law. And you know, again, from a psychological point of view, that's what makes us feel safe, is that we know where we stand. You know, if X happens and the law says you can't, then there's a consequence for it. And you start to feel insecure. But I think the key really is, very importantly, to as much as possible, see what you can do. Again, not overwhelm yourself. You're not going to change the whole system. But just know what you can do on your own to improve the situation, and improve the situation around yourself and in your community.
I'm going to throw another spanner in the works. The fact that we've got an election this year is going to make it worse, because parties point out the failures of other parties. So if we are going to allow ourselves just to be overwhelmed by this tsunami of criticism, it's also going to affect us very, very badly, rather than looking at it and saying, wow, look at what we've got. We've got a thriving democracy. We've got freedom of speech. We've got parties that are imperfect, but you find me an example of perfection anywhere in the world. And as I said in my article, one of the things I'm very, very grateful for here in South Africa is that Hillary Clinton will never be our president. I mean, think about that. That is something. Theresa May, never. Never. Jeremy Corbyn, never. So there we have it. A lot of people would say Donald Trump, never. I'm not so sure. Maybe I think we could do with a bit of Trump right now. But all right, that's another subject completely. The point is that it's almost separating what we are seeing and what we have. And it's very hard to do. It takes an immense amount of emotional resilience to be able to keep doing that.
It does. It takes a huge amount of resilience. But again, you know, if you feel like you are not empowered, or that you are not making a difference or can't make a difference in the things around you, of course you're going to become desensitized and give up and just accept things. And I think for me, again, very importantly, to be aware of that and know and try and find ways where you can empower yourself. And it doesn't, we were talking about goals last week, it doesn't have to be climb Everest.
Well, I just want to read you Bendita's message, which I think is great. Just one act at a time in your sphere of influence is huge. This year, I sponsored my housekeeper's son to go to a better school. I give car guards more money and shoes. I smile more at people. And I think that I'm making a difference to South Africa. That's the most beautiful SMS.
And did you see the news yesterday? I was so touched. News 24, where in Cape Town, this musician and his wife drive past a person who sells homeless talk.
I saw the headline. I didn't read the article.
Basically, what happened is that just he's cheerful. He's bright. And every time he would comment on their car and say, oh, lovely car, lovely car. And they actually, and it's, you can go into News 24, actually were going to get a new car and gave this car to this car guard.
Wow. Oh, my word. I've got goosebumps.
And that's the kind of thing we're talking about. Yes, and it's not, you know, when we looked at the car, it's a van type minibus.
It doesn't matter. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant. Mm. They made such a difference in their sphere. In their community.
So maybe that's, Lubo, your thoughts?
I think it's a wonderful gesture, because I think as South Africans, we are really caring. deep down.
I do think we
but
are.
The problem is to keep finding those consistently. You know, I laughed yesterday. I was rushing to the airport to pick up my wife from a flight, and she had already landed. And as I joined the freeway, there was a car in front of me that pulled over, a lady with a flat tire. So I stopped and I said, you know, I told her about the tire and I said, you know how to fix it, because I was late. And she said, no. But I was amazed that she didn't feel unsafe and intimidated, because I pulled up behind her and she walked up to the car. I mean, you know, different race, and it's a lady, and I had and I helped her, and you know, my wife was not too impressed. But I was taken aback.
Can you imagine that conversation on the way home? Yeah, sorry, Luba.
To walk up to a complete stranger,
right?
You know, because I literally pulled up behind her, and she walked up to the car and said, "I know how to change a tire, but I wouldn't have the strength." So I'm seeing a lot of positive things that are happening in the country.
Right. Well, I think that's such an
contagious, though.
Yes.
Because I sat in the Eastern Cape with some wealthy friends, and they were black, and they were saying to me, Luba, we're so tired of hearing people blame apartheid. How do we fix and do things? And I said, okay, that's wonderful. But again, they threw it at me and said, well, you start something, we'll support you. And I kept saying, no. You see, and there for me is a problem, is that there are a lot of people who want to do good, who want to do positive things, but they expect somebody to create the platform for them, to create the space, and they say they will support. And I'm saying that those few of us who are willing to do something are going to be burnt out and exhausted. And we need more people to do those acts of good, of kindness and charity, spontaneously, and not wait for someone to create a platform. And that for me is a challenge, is that there's so much good that's bubbling, but people are saying, create the platform. Then on the other side, there's also, I think, a growing intolerance of wanting to really express and talk. And we've talked about this before. How do you encourage people to do those acts of good, and how do you celebrate it? How do you make it more public so that other people are encouraged?
Yeah, and I think maybe the answer is the in your sphere. You know, when I think about that, I think that does sound like that's an option. I often think that when beggars ask for money, why should I give them when the government just steal? But that is exhausting emotionally to live like that. That's from Steve. It is absolutely exhausting to live like that, and it doesn't do anybody any good.
It doesn't, and I think really it's about understanding that you... That,
because you're a victim in that case. You're as much a victim as the guy on the corner.
Completely. And so it's really about understanding that, how do you empower yourself? You can make a difference by giving this person hopefully some money to go and feed themselves. Again, you're empowering yourself. You've done a mitzvah. You've done something to change the world. And again, you can control that. You can't directly, on your own, certainly you can start a ripple, but on your own then, in a very short space of time, change the corruptions that's happening in the government. And so you'd feel disempowered, but start with something small.
You also don't want to be delusional, you know. You also don't want to be ever accused of being in complete denial, whereas, you know, there are real things and there are real challenges that we're facing in the country, you know, and we have to not lose sight of those, because to lose sight of them is to not demand improvement.
And but Howard, it makes a difference to that person. You know, I found even if it's just giving a person a sandwich, it might not solve poverty in the country. But for that particular person, it made sure that...
Oh, I agree, Gruber.
Yeah, so I think sometimes you feel better yourself, and you've certainly
for
helped somebody.
Sure.
You may not be able to help the, you know, all the starving people. So I found, and the interesting thing is I'm finding that the younger generation, the born frees, are much more willing to do that. So when I look at my kids, charity for them is more natural than I would think it would be, you know, and they draw immense satisfaction. I mean, I look at my daughter and she can literally tell me all the homeless people around our area, and she greets them, you know, and she has a very good rapport with them, and she'll tell me, oh, this one stays there. She'll stop and she'll chat with them and all of that. And sometimes she can't give them anything, but she can give them her time.
Absolutely.
And just chat with them, and she has a wonderful conversation. So I think you do feel better when you've been able to impact somebody's life. It might just be giving them an old T-shirt, a sandwich, or something like that. So I think what David is saying is true, is that you do uplift yourself and feel better that you've made a difference in somebody's life. You may not be able to change the country, but certainly your corner of the world you can impact.
And I think what Luba said just really actually provides the answer, and what you said before, David, provides that answer, is that, and as well as our listener comments, Bendita, the whole, you know, the saying, act within your own sphere, change your sphere of influence. If you can do that, if you can make a difference to just that those people around you, and everybody's doing that, that is going to make a difference. We can't control what went on at Bosasa and government. We can do what we can as citizens of the country, and that is to exercise our democratic right as well as freedom of speech. But it's fairly limited as to our level of empowerment there. What we can do is change our own spheres and everybody around us.
And as human beings, you know, we want to see results. You know, right. it's just natural that we want to see some kind of change. And I think, again, when we're expecting the government to change quickly, when we're expecting these corruption hearings to put politicians or people in jail immediately, and then you do become despondent and desensitized. But absolutely, you have the power to see results around you in your immediate environment. And I think that it really is the key to find those opportunities, and there are lots in this country, to empower yourself in your area, in your community.
So Howard, you must sing that song, that Michael Jackson song about looking at the man in the mirror.
The man in the mirror, exactly. That's not a bad song at all. This is unfortunately where we have to end it. What a fantastic conversation. Certainly, I hope you enjoyed it. I really did. David Luba, thank you as always for your incredible wisdom and perspective. You can keep the SMSs coming. I certainly will keep an eye on them. We can either pick that up tomorrow if you want to, because it is an important conversation. And tomorrow's show, a very, very busy one and a great one indeed. Please don't be late.